like to read from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, verses 16 through 32. Been going through the Gospel of Mark here in the preaching ministry of the church here, and last week when I was here, we looked at the first part of this 15th chapter, and today we want to look at sort of the middle part of this chapter as we consider this part of the life of Christ our Savior. And beginning with verse 16, "And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and he called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the palace called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'King of the Jews,' or 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' Those who were crucified with him also reviled him." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. The crucifixion of Christ. It shows the infinite love of Christ for sinners. His suffering fills our minds with horror, or at least it ought to. His compassion, were one of us human. However, they were inflicted on the eternal Son of God. How can we fathom that? How can we explain it? Process it? The eternal Son of God hung on a cross. Incomprehensible. But voluntarily endured this too, that he might deliver sinful men and women. Us. From hell. With Paul, we can say the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. It's incomprehensible. God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was delivered over to the Romans. He was insulted. He was stripped. He was humiliated. Condemned as a criminal to death, and then handed over to the Roman soldiers. Why? So that sinners, such as me, such as us who, believing in him, might be pardoned, forgiven. Saved from the destruction in hell. Presented faultless before God with exceeding joy. He was condemned. He was insulted. He was made the laughing stock by the Roman soldiers, as we've read here. Clothed in purple, very derisive. Put a crown of thorns on him, mocking him. Oh, a king must have a crown. And they shoved this crown of thorns in his head, his blood dripping down his face. They smote him on the head with a scepter. Oh, the king must have a scepter. But they took that scepter and hit him on the head. Utter contempt. And we read they spat on him. Like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Why? So that sinners like you and me might be glorified in His honor, glorified Him, honored in Him, and have eternal life through faith in Him. Through His atoning work on the cross. So that we might be received into God's kingdom with triumph on the last day. That we would receive a crown of glory that doesn't fade away. He was stripped of his garments, crucified before his enemies. Soldiers parted his garments, casting lots to see who would be privileged to own it. Why this? Not exactly sure, but I think it's so that we who have no righteousness of our own might be clothed in His perfect righteousness. The righteousness that He made for us so that we might not stand naked before God on that last day. So that we might sit down with the angels unashamedly. Jesus suffered the most ignoble, humiliating death. A death on a cross. This was a punishment that the Romans devised for non-Romans. A punishment reserved for the worst of sinners, the malefactors, the criminals, reserved for criminals, the cursed ones. And so we read in Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why did Jesus do this? Why was this necessary? What's the point? The point is so that we who are born in sin, born under the curse, born as children of wrath, so that we might be counted blessed for Christ's sake. Because of what He suffered in my place, in your place. He loved us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. He is our substitute. Substitutionary atonement is the theological word that we use. He died in our place. We watch the football games and guys can't take it the whole hour of play. They have substitutes coming in to spell them off, or they have a whole defensive team come in. In my days, we used to play defense and offense, go both ways. But Jesus is the substitute. He has taken our place. substitutes for us, so that we might have his righteousness. So that we who are born in sin, born under that curse, he was crucified. He was reckoned a sinner among transgressors. For he was recognized a sinner and a transgressor. He was crucified with two thieves. He was numbered, as the scriptures say, among the transgressors. The one who had done those sin, the one whom the worst they could say about him, he eats with publicans and sinners. They numbered him as one of them. He was numbered as one of them. Why? It was necessary that we in our last hour might have a strong consolation. It came to pass so that we might enjoy the assurance that we who have and who believe, we who are trusting in his crucifixion, in his work, in what he has done, his cross, his substitutionary, his work, his death by crucifixion on the cross, that we might go down the valley of the shadow of death and not fear any evil. Isn't that what the psalmist said? Hey, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's because Jesus went through the valley of death for us. We're not guilty because Christ took our guilt on himself. Jesus was mocked, treated as an imposter. He saved others. He can't save himself. If you're the Son of God, come on down. If you are a king, and here, wear this robe. He was mocked as an imposter so that we in our dying hour, that we in our dying hour may have a strong consolation, an assurance that we know whom we have believed. And can go down the valley again of the shadow of death and fear no evil. He paid the debt we owed. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope for is bound up in the doing and the dying of Jesus, the Son of God. Through Jesus' condemnation, we have acquittal. Through his sufferings, we have peace. Through his shame, we have glory. And through his death, we have life. My sins were imputed, given to him. He took them all. His righteousness is imputed to us. With Paul, we can say, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It's a gift. It's not something we earned. We often take pride in the things we earn, but this is a gift. It's not something that we can earn. Christ loved us. Christ loves sinners. Christ ate with sinners. He died with sinners. And he died for sinners. He died for me. He died for you. He took your place. That's the substitutionary atonement. It's real. How great the love of Christ for us. Corrupt, evil, miserable sinners we are. Do we admit it? The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the maker of all things, the ruler of heaven and earth. The Lord Jesus, for our sakes, willingly, voluntarily, endured that most painful, shameful, horrifying, disgraceful death. The despicable death on the cross. May the love that went into his death constrain us to be willing to present our bodies as living sacrifices to him who loved us and died for us. May the cross of Christ often be before us. May we rightly understand its justifying and sanctifying work. And by that we would be comforted and assured and emboldened to live for him, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. For it is in him our sins are paid, and we are redeemed, and we are set free from the curse and the power of sin. Yes, condemnation, but acquittal in Christ. Suffering, but peace through him. Shame, yet glory. Death to life. My sins, our sins are imputed, are given to him. And his righteousness is given to us. Thanks be to God. Yes, it was a bloody death. Without blood, we're told there is no forgiveness of sins. The blood atonement for souls was necessary in God's relationship with his people. From the very beginning to the end, that blood sacrifice was necessary. The pouring out of blood, Christ's blood, became the propitiation for us. Yes, painful, shameful, cursed. Delivered by the Roman soldiers, abused, spitefully treated while preparing for execution. Yet through this, we see our redemption. We see our salvation. We see our justification. Told he was brought to Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place of execution. Tradition has it that Adam was buried there. As in Adam, all died, but so in Christ shall all be made alive. Calvary is that mountain in the land of Moriah on which Isaac was to be offered. And in his place, there was a ram that was provided as the substitute instead of Isaac. Abraham had an eye to the day of Christ when he named it Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. God has provided the substitute for us. what we had deserved. And that substitute is Christ. The third hour was the hour that the Jewish leaders should have been attending to their priestly duties in the temple, offering the peace offerings, but instead they were venting their evil, their malice, against the Lord Jesus. The indignities that Christ suffered on the cross, the wine mingled with myrrh made it bitter and nauseous. But making merry, casting lots for his garments while he's hanging on the cross. The superscription, the King of the Jews, even upon the cross, Christ really is King of the Jews. Christ crucified the King of his church. On the cross, he is conquering the enemies of his people. The triumphing over their enemies. He is King. He is the King of his people. Crucified between two thieves. As he did when he lived, he ate among sinners. So in his death, he died in the midst of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. Fulfilling the scriptures, he was numbered with the transgressors. Spectators added insults. Passers-by railed on him. The chief priests, the sorcerers, 3 days, you can build a temple, but you can't save yourself. If you can save yourself, come down. And he was destroying the temple, as it were, and they knew it. Not with a sword, but with the power of his grace. They mocked him, saving others. The thieves reviled with him. And why did Jesus go through this? Why did Jesus go through this? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's probably one of the most known verses in all of Scripture, other than maybe Psalm 23. But that's the explanation of why Jesus went to the cross and was willing to suffer all that agony, shame, disrespect, so that we, through his death, his shed blood, that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And may we receive him with faith. A faith that he promises to give through the power and working of his Spirit in our hearts and lives. Enable us to cry, Abba, Father. Save me. So with Christ, we rejoice in his deliverance. On the third day, he rose again, that we, through his death and life, might have eternal life with him. Thanks be to God. Shall I pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for that Christ, you went through that excruciating pain.